Chapter number 3, Nehemiah chapter number 3. Let's get in the book tonight and let's dig around. Y'all want to study it tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you come hungry, and I'm just going to give it to you how God gave it to me. And I'm thankful for the truth of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 3, let's stand together. Did everybody get a little handout? Amen. You'll look there. Now this is not an exact replica of the city of Jerusalem and the walls. It's just kind of a little sketch to give you, put something in your mind. And I could have given you something maybe a little more, what's the shape wise, a little more accurate. But I couldn't find one, Brother Jack, that I thought was accurate as far as the way the gates are set up, the way that it's laid out in Nehemiah chapter 3. And this here come out of a book, and I even cut the page out and put it on the copy machine and stuck it back in the book so that I could give that to you tonight. And you see, we've already dealt with the sheep gate. The sheep gate's the one at the furthest. It'd be your right-hand corner there at the top, the highest one there, the sheep gate. We already preached on that. Then you go counterclockwise, as Nehemiah 3 does. We went to the fish gate, and tonight we're in verse number 6, and you'll see the old gate sitting over there on the northwest corner of the walls of that old city, Jerusalem. So look with me in verse number 6, where the Bible said, "Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah under the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him repaired Uziel the son of Harhiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall. Next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur." Now, how'd you like to be named Hur in the midst of all those other long names? Amen. You reckon that's probably the last child of the family, and they've been giving all them long names to everybody else. And the mama said, "I'm out of breath, just call him Hur." Amen. Amen. How'd you like to be somebody like him named Hur? Amen. Well, maybe I'm the only one amused by that. All right. Amen. Somebody preached a message on Hur, you know, Aaron and Hur over there in the Old Testament on, "I want to be a man like Hur." And amen. I don't know about all that, but amen. Hur. Amen. Enough of that. I'm easily amused sometimes. The ruler of half the part of Jerusalem, and next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumath, even over against his house. Next unto him repaired Hatus, the son of Hashbaniah, Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashab, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece, and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalem, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of half a part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Now, I know that's a bunch of Hebrew names. It sounds like gibberish and maybe seems unimportant. I read it all so I don't have to go back through and try to pronounce all them names through the messages. I'll reference the verse and sections of them. But that is the reading of the old gate, the repairing of it, and the wall that would be coming off of the old gate that they would repair to guard the city of Jerusalem. So I want to preach tonight and continue our thought on the gateways, the presence of God. There is the matter of the old gate. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. May the power of God be upon us and shine through us. May the things that we have to say tonight, Lord, be a blessing, as it is our desire to encourage the people of God. Lord, I know that we're in the minority in these days, that, Lord, old-time religion and old-time holy living and old-time Bible-believing Christians, Lord, seem to be a thing of the past. Lord, I pray tonight that we take our place, Lord, in being connected to the old gate and the old time way. Lord, I pray that we do it, Lord, unashamedly. That, Lord, you'd let us tonight, Lord, realize that, Lord, we desperately, desperately need the old gate raised up in our lives. And all that you do for us tonight and in days to come, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been studying these gates in Nehemiah chapter number 3, the first of which was the sheep gate. And the sheep gate, we've seen our lovely Savior as the priest, as the shepherd, and as the lamb, our sacrifice. And that's where it all begins. That's where in this text, in Nehemiah, in recording the events of the building of these gates and the repairing of these gates has started, for that is where in a man's Christian journey it all begins. You must be saved, having met the Lamb of God, and taketh away the sin of the world. Our second gate in the text is found in verse number 3, the fish gate. And there we preached on the matter of once we are saved, we've a message to tell and responsibility at rest upon our shoulders, and those that God saves, he calls to be fishers of men. And we preached a message on that fish gate in regard to our Christian life, that once we're saved, that, my friend, the next best thing to being saved is being a part of seeing others brought to the Savior. And what a blessing tonight, and what a privilege we have to work with our God and with our Lord in the redemption of the souls of men. I pray that you've made that, amen, a matter of concern in your life in these last days we're living in. Seem like that the Lord's had us preaching much upon that in recent weeks. And I pray you'd take up the challenge, and that I would take up the challenge, and indeed, amen, raise up a fish gate in our spiritual lives. Now this evening, these verses that we've read bring us to the third of the 10 gates that are mentioned in this chapter. As the walls of Jerusalem are being repaired, we'll find that this particular gate was one of the most important to the city of Jerusalem. And I believe has many, many spiritual principles and applications for you and I this evening. This began with the name of the old gate, as is mentioned in verse number 6, moreover, the old gate. Moreover, the old gate. I looked up the word old and began to do a word study upon it. And don't get nervous on me tonight, but the Hebrew word that is translated old here means this. It means something that has been around a long time. Amen. I think that's a good definition for old. Amen. Something that has been around a long time. Amen. Some of y'all say, I'm old tonight. I've been around a long time. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all look like you've been around a long time. Amen. And so old, that is the definition of old. Amen. Old means, when you study this out, something that is aged. Amen. Something that is aged. Something that spans the generations. Something that, my friend, goes beyond the contemporary part of the day. Something that is aged, or something that is ancient. You'll find when you study this word old that it would refer to something that has been kept or stored up because of its value. Something stored up and kept because of its value. And I think about that, and in the Word of God you'll find statements of like old wheat or old corn that has been stored up. That is, it is from a previous harvest time, but is still vital to the survival of the generation in the days that are to come. And so when we think about something old, we're having in mind something that has been stored and kept and is valuable and is necessary to our survival. A word old, when you do a word study on it, here's what you're going to find. Brother Maurice, this is brilliant now, and it's really deep. You'll miss it if you don't, amen, pay real close attention tonight. The word old, it means old as opposed to new. Amen. If something is old, it is not new. And if it is new, it is not old. Amen. We're living in a generation that is confused about, amen, things old and things new. In the realms of religion, in the realms of worship, in the realms of so-called Christianity, there is an attempt going on in this day to blend the new with what is supposed to be the old. But you mark it down, amen, if something old in this, if something is old, it is old as opposed to new. Now in this gate as it is named the old gate, I believe that this gate pictures the revelation and the application of God's timeless truth. Amen. Believe that it represents the unchanging truths about God, the unchanging truths of morality, the unchanging truths of, amen, worship and walking with God in holiness. My friend, it deals with not just the giving of knowledge of what those truths are. My friend, the old gate deals with the application of those things in our life. It shows in the old gate, I think it'll show us tonight, that old time way of holy living and honoring of God's word. I'm thankful tonight that we have truth. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that we know what truth is. We find in the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17, amen, and Jesus praying for his church and those that would be saved. He prayed to the Heavenly Father that we would be sanctified and sanctified in a particular way. He said, and in prayer, he prayed, Brother Jack, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We find when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked the question, what is truth? My friend, that's where this world is at in this generation in which we live. And they are on a quest for truth. They, my friend, are wondering what is true. And in doing so, amen, they are coming up with all sorts of new things that are supposed to be truth and are not truth because God has established truth from old. Now this evening when we think about, amen, the old gate and this old time way of holy living, honoring God's word, acknowledging and applying truth to our life. Amen. I want to say this evening, when we think about this, amen, some things and at some times new may be better than the old. Amen. We would think maybe tonight, amen, we could think maybe tonight in a carnal realm or a temporal earthly realm. Amen. Sometimes, and I won't argue with you, a new car may be better than your old car. And sometimes a new home may be better than your old home. And I think tonight in the world in which we live, and no doubt, amen, this is true at times, that new clothes are better than our old wore out garments. And I want to go on record tonight and say in the very introductory part of the message this evening, amen, the old time way will always be better than the new. Amen. I make no apologies for that. I know where I'm preaching tonight. Amen. I know that we're in a public format this evening in different ways of technology. Amen. But in a generation that is looking for something new in religion, amen, we unashamedly declare tonight, amen, that the old time way of God and the old time way of holy living and old time religion, amen, is always better than the new. Amen. You can have your new contemporary form of worship. It'll never be better than an old time hymn and an old time spiritual song and an old time psalm. Amen, to bless the heart. Amen, you can have your New Age versions of the Bible. Amen, they'll never, never, never be better, amen, than God's old time book. Amen, I'm glad this evening I know something about the old time way. Amen, you can have your new way of living where it's watered down. Amen. Where you can hook up with the world and flesh and carnality and still somehow think you're a good Christian. Amen. But you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Amen. The old time way of holy living, amen, will always be better than this new, amen, new way of thinking. And I don't want to be offensive tonight, amen, in our language, but I want to be truthful with you this evening. Amen. The old time way will always be better than the new. And when I think of the old gate, amen, what I found in my study and just meditating on some of this is that every city in that culture would have what would be considered an original gate. A bigger a city would be, the more gates would be added. Jerusalem had grown into a rather large city, and in fact had 12 gates. Nehemiah 3 gives 10 of those. And so there were multiple gates to the city, but in those days there was always an original gate of entry. For Jerusalem, it was called the Old Gate. Amen. The Old Gate was the original gate of entry into this city. It is called by this name, the Old Gate, because it is the oldest of all the gates. It's older than the sheep gate. It's older than the fish gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the water gate, the fountain gate, the east gate. Amen. And on we can go tonight. This is the oldest of them all. Amen. The original gate to a city in ancient Middle Eastern times, this original gate, the old gate as it stands in Jerusalem, would be where the elders would assemble there in the gate of the city. They would hear and answer matters of dispute, matters of law, things that would be raised, questions that would be asked. They're the elders in that, amen, in that original gate of a city, amen, the old gate of Jerusalem is where they would gather, and the elders would pass down the wisdom that, amen, had been passed down to them in generations gone by. Amen, they would commune their laws and their traditions, and all of that would take place at the old gate, in an attempt to pass them down from generation to generation. Now I want to say tonight as I stand here and preach, amen, in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle land, amen, in what I consider to still be the greatest nation on the face of God's earth in 2022, amen, there has been a departure in our day, amen, of honoring the traditions that have been passed down and are to abide from generation to generation. Amen. Oh, God knows in America tonight, amen, we need an old gate to be raised again. Amen. What's sad is I may be getting ahead of myself. Amen. There ain't very many elders in America tonight, amen, that know much of anything about our traditions, amen, about our laws and about morality and decency in this day. Amen. It seems like folk have compromised the truth. It seems like we've watered it down till we have no ground to stand upon. Amen. We've let the heathens come in and take the old gate from us. My friend, we wonder why our generation is so messed up. Why little boys think they're girls and little girls think they can be boys. Amen. Why perverts run our streets. And my friend, why things that just ought to be common sense, amen, have been misplaced in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this day. Amen, is something that they are now confused about. Amen, where are the elders that will stand and unashamedly proclaim, amen, the ways of old and the things that are right and the laws of God as God has given them to us in His Word. Amen. I want to say tonight, thank God for truth. Thank God for the timeless truths, and thank God for His blessed law. Amen. And may I even say tonight, thank God, amen, that in these days there are still a few places sprinkled across our land. Amen, there are some places, amen, that we can still hear truth preached. When Paul was writing to Timothy in the New Testament, I think he said, and he gave us some insight, amen, on a spiritual old gate. Amen, he said, Timothy, I'm writing to you that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Amen. Oh, in the church, which is the house of God. And then he made this statement, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. Now you say, preacher, amen, is there somewhere we can go to hear the truth tonight? Amen. May I say, if you can hear it anywhere, you ought to be able to hear it in the house of God. Amen. And so long, by the grace of God, as I'm the pastor here, amen, you'll always have a place you can hear the truth. I didn't say you'd always like it. I didn't say it always make you feel warm and fuzzy. Amen. It may make you feel slapped upside the head sometimes. Amen. But God knows we need a place we can come. Amen. To hear the truth and have it revealed. Amen. And have some instruction given to us. Amen. How to apply truth in our life and in our families. Amen. That's a good place to say amen right there. Amen. So many churches, my friend, have turned into social clubs. I'm not against fellowship. I love it, and we have it around here. Amen. But not at the expense of truth. Amen. Amen. You know my heart. I want to see every pew in this place filled up, but not at the expense of truth. Amen. Truth, my friend, doesn't always bring people together. Amen. Sometimes it divides. Sometimes. Amen. And you'll understand this. And at the old gate, in the original gates in these cities, amen, this would be the most contentious gate of all ten. Amen. Because truth would be given. When truth is given, truth demands a response. You have to embrace it, you have to apply it, or you have to reject it and push it aside. Amen. And thank God tonight for truth. Thank God we've got a place we can come. Amen. To hear it. Note this, I'm still an introduction. Amen. But note this tonight, that this matter of the old gate, moreover, the old gate. Amen. I found it interesting as I just observed and have been meditating upon this. And this is the first gate of the ten said to have been repaired, opposed to the first two, the sheep and the fish gates, having been builded. Amen. Now, if something's builded, that is, you're raising something out of nothing. And surely that's what God did in the plan of salvation. Amen. And our high priest builded that way to God. Amen. And the shepherd sought us out, and the Lamb of God purchased it. Amen. With his own blood. All of that is all of God. And we're thankful for that. Amen. That truth. The fish gate, amen, is said to have been built by, amen, by the sons of Hasaniah. And so it was built in as well. There was a work, amen, made something out of nothing. When we come to the old gate, amen, the Bible said, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada and Meshulam. Amen. What I want you to note here, amen, is that when we consider the old gate in representation, amen, of the timeless truth that God has revealed in His law and in His word, Psalm 100 in verse number 5 ends that glorious psalm saying, His truth endureth to all generations. When we talk about truth, it spans all generational divides. Amen. There's not a truth. There's not a truth from God for one generation, and then it morphs into something else down the line. Oh no, friend, His truth endureth. Amen. To all generations. And so when the enemy had come in, evidently they had wiped out the sheep gate, and they had absolutely obliterated the fish gate, so that they had to be built again in the days of Nehemiah. My friend, the enemy did not completely destroy the old gate. Amen. For it was repaired. Hey, I say tonight, I'm glad the truth of God, my friend, the enemy, amen, they may batter it, they may light fire to it, amen, they may try to stamp it out, but thank God, God's truth will endure. Amen. He established truth. Amen. He established truth in men. Amen. They need to repair their relationship to that truth. Amen. But we need not rebuild it. That's the problem I have with this generation, Brother Tim. They're trying to rebuild truth that God has already established. Amen. God already established marriage was between a man and a woman. God already established that 6,000 years ago. And I don't care. Listen, I know it's in all our families in the day in which we live. Amen. But sodomite marriage will never be the will of God, no matter how men redefine truth. Is that right? Amen. God settled that a long time ago. Amen. 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 He settled it a long time ago when the Word of God said that, amen, from the birds and the bees, amen, to the, amen, fish in the stream and the things that creep on the ground all the way to humanity, amen, male and female created he them. Now God already established that, amen, and that is an old timeless truth, amen, that cannot change, but our generation's trying to rebuild that truth. Amen. You say they'll kick you off the radio, they'll kick you off, amen, the internet, they can do it. Bless God, I'm going to get it in while I can. Amen. Amen. Some elder needs to stand and say something about it. Amen. These are things that have been established. Amen. These are things that, my friend, are timeless. Amen. They never change. God gave in his law. Amen. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Amen. These are timeless truths that mankind are trying to rebuild the truth. We don't need to rebuild truth. We need to repair our relationship to the old truths of God. Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. We go on and on. There's all sorts of social issues in our day. Amen. Amen. Thank God there's some. Amen. There's some that ain't bowed their knee to the new ways. Amen. Thank God there's some that are standing up in our day and saying enough is enough. That's not what we receive. Amen. That's not what has been handed down. Amen. And thank God there are some. There's some churches, I think. Amen. We're trying to be one of them. I think there's some men of God. I know I'm trying to be one of them. Amen. Thank God there's even a few politicians here and there. Amen. They probably have fellowship in a phone booth. Amen. As many as there is. Amen. But at least there's a few, bless God, that still, amen, are interested in standing for some of the old timeless truths. Amen. I wonder tonight, are you? I wonder tonight how your relationship is to the old gate. Amen. You say, I'm a member of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. That don't mean you're right with the old gate. Amen. Well, I hope you have a desire for it. And if you'll let me, I want to encourage us tonight and kind of work our way down through here. I'm getting carried away. Amen. Let me at least get some of this said, all right? Amen. Consider with me these verses out. I'll give you three main headings for applying some principles to our relationship with knowing and living truth. Amen. And by the way, I will say this. Amen. If you're a member here, you attend here regularly, you know truth.
That's right. Amen.
You know truth.
Right.
Amen. You're not void of truth. You're not down at some truth at some church. It's watered it down. And I don't claim to be the best presenter of it. Amen. I don't claim that our church is just the greatest at it. Amen. But we do try to give truth, and you know truth. Amen. And so really our problem is living what we've been told to live.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all reach over and grab your seatbelt. Hang on. It may get a little turbulent. Amen. Amen. Notice with me, number one, I love this thought and it'll be encouraging. Amen. Notice the confederation at the old gate. The confederation at the old gate. What I mean by that is I noted in verse number 6 that there are two men said to have done the repair work at the old gate. These two men are known by the name of Jehoiada and Meshulam. You'll notice that these men are identified by their fathers or to their fathers for a total of four names that are given in this text in regard to the men that builded and confederated together, amen, in the repair work of the old gate. Now, what I want to do this evening is in these names, show you how we find the kind of person it takes to have interest and be invested in the old time way. Amen. Number one, consider with me one who has a relationship with God. Amen. Consider the name Jehoiada. Amen. Are we all clear on this, what we're getting ready to do? Amen. I'm going to give you the definitions of these four names. And Brother Riley, they're going to paint the picture, amen, of our life, whether or not we're really interested and invested, amen, in the old gate or not. Amen. This is kind of maybe where it begins. Amen. One who has a relationship with God. Amen. The name Jehoiada means Jehovah known, or literally known of the Lord. Amen. May I say that? Amen. Until you have a relationship with God, amen, you'll never be interested in all the truths that He has given in the Word of God. Amen. When you enter a relationship with Him, you lose sight. Amen. You lose sight of everything you believed in the past. Amen. And you're interested only in what God has given. Amen. You're only interested, my friend, in His timeless truth. Amen. Things that He has given to be of value to our life. Amen. Things that we can live by. Amen. That will cause us to survive when everybody else is dying. Amen. You must have a relationship with God. Amen. Jehoiada testifies. Amen. That my friend, a man can know the Lord. Amen. A man can be known of God. Amen. Amen. When Jehoiada says his name, amen, it is a testimony that I am a man and God knows something about. Amen. I'm glad tonight I have a personal relationship with God. Tell you why some are uninterested and uninvested in the old gate. They ain't got a relationship with God. This generation I'm a preaching to, amen, I find so many that are so detached from the old time way. Amen. They've got these new ways of thinking and you try to give them old truth and you try to give them what God said and you try to point them the Word of God. And my friend, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. Amen. It hits them in the heart and bounces off. Amen. I believe a lot of the reason for that, Brother Larry, is they do not have a personal relationship with the God of truth. Amen. Hang on. Number two. Amen. Consider the father of Jehoiada. Amen. Jehoiada is the son of Paseah. Paseah literally means limping or halting. I wrote this down and I want to elaborate on it just a moment. Amen. I call this one who is ruled by God. You say, preacher, how do you get that out of limping or halting? A man that is just, he's just doing this all of his life. But Tim, when I read that definition, immediately my mind went to an Old Testament character by the name of Jacob. Jacob, the Bible said, had an encounter with God. And God wrestled with Jacob all through the night. And you remember what God said to Jacob? He said, let me go. Amen. The sun's coming up. Let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go. Amen. Until you tell me who you are. Amen. And God reached over there. And the Bible said He touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And when He did, my friend, it did something to his leg. amen, that gave Jacob a limp. Amen. And every time you seen Jacob walk, amen, every step he took was a limp. It testified he had been conquered by God. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. Those who are interested and invested, amen, in the old time way are those, amen, who are being ruled by the Lord. They are in submission to His Lordship. Amen. They have been conquered. Their will has been broken. They're not stubborn there. Amen. They realize, amen, you don't wrestle with God and win.
Right.
Amen. You ever had a day in your life, amen, where God conquered your spirit?
Amen.
Tell you why we got so many rebels against the truth in this day.
Right.
Yes. Amen. They want to wrestle with God. They think they're fighting a preacher. And they think that they're standing against the church, and they think that they're resisting a movement. But my friend, if it's what God said, amen, it don't matter what you think, it don't matter how you feel about it, amen, you'll never surrender to God's old time way until God is the ruler of your life.
Amen.
Somebody help me now. I told you, buckle your seatbelt. I'm trying to be encouraging. Amen. I'm trying to be Brother May. Amen. I'm telling you, one who is ruled by God. Amen. Whose will has been broken. Who God has changed the way that they walk. That's the ones you'll find hanging out around the old gate. Amen. Number three, one who is reconciled to God. Look at Meshulam. Oh, this is good. Amen. The second man involved in the repair work in the old gate is the man named Meshulam. Amen. Preacher, what does his name mean? It means alliance. It means an associate. Or it literally means a friend or to be on friendly terms with. And I thought about this, that in our relationship to the Lord, amen, you remember what James the Beloved said in the New Testament when he said, amen, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Amen. In other words, he was saying, amen, you need to evaluate your alliances. Amen. You need to evaluate your friendships. Amen. You need to make sure that, amen, you're not more cozied up to the world, amen, into carnality and to the things that are in the world more than you are God. Because when you do that, amen, it means you are an enemy to God. People who are enemies of God are enemies to the truth that is represented in the old gate.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ain't we having fun in Calvary tonight? Amen. One who is reconciled to God. Are you reconciled to God tonight? Are you on friendly terms with God? Let me ask you this. Would God say you're on friendly terms with Him? I'm hearing a lot of people try to persuade me them and God's good.
Yep.
And I ain't the judge tonight. Amen. I ain't a judge, but I know what the Word of God says.
Man.
And some, I think, trying to persuade me, and they have deceived themselves that God may have a whole different way of looking at it.
You're right.
What would God say? Would God say, you're my friend? That's what He said of Abraham. It's what He said of the Old Testament saints in the faith. Amen. When He said He was not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. He was not ashamed that He and them would be associated one with the other and been reconciled to God. Those that are on good terms with God, and God testifies of that. Amen. That is the crowd that reconciliation to God is essential to be interested and invested in the old time way. Number four, can y'all handle it? I'm just still on point number one. Notice this fourth man's name, Meshulam's father. Meshulam is the son of Besodiah. Besodiah means this, the counsel or secret of Jehovah. I wrote it down this way, Brother Bob, this matter of a confederation, these things coming together in our life at the old gate. We're interested, we're invested, we're involved, amen, in the old gate. We want to know truth. We want truth revealed. We want to live it in our life as it's given. Amen. It's going to take one who has a revelation of God. Say, so what do you mean? The counsel or the secret of Jehovah. In other words, Besediah says, not only does God know me, I know God.
Amen.
I know some things about God.
Amen.
I personally have a relationship and am ruled by God and have been reconciled in friendly terms with Him. And now there are some things that I personally know about God. It's amazing in this day what people say they know about God. That is not anywhere found in God's Word about God. Am I right? It's amazing how many folk, you never hear them talk about anything that they know about God. It's as if they live their entire spiritual life, amen, with no connection to the Lord. Amen, no revelation of God. But may I say, that is what eternal life is. Amen. And Tim uses it often. And I think he said it's one of his favorite verses. It's obviously one of my favorite. Amen. About eternal life. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and his Son whom thou hast sent. Amen. Listen. Amen. The evidence of your salvation is, amen, God reveals himself to you. Amen. The more I learn of God, the more interested and invested and involved I seem to want to be in the old gate. How in the world, why in the world would we want to seek a new way? Amen. Why in the world would we want to fight, amen, and follow the new age thinkings that are going on in our day? Amen. The watered down gospel, the cheap grace. Amen. The life that says, amen, you can hold hands with the world and still be good with God. Amen. You will not find that in the Word of God. And the more you have revealed to you, and the more God shows you about himself, amen, he wants you to become invested in that old time way. The old gate. The old gate. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you ruled by God? Most people rule by, I don't know how much further I'll make it. I want to finish this, but we may go a long time. Amen. Most people are ruled by their feelings.
Right. Amen.
Most people are ruled by their opinions.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This generation coming on the scene, it's amazing how different their thinking is. How they're being ruled by Hollywood and don't even realize it. How they're being ruled by a world and don't even realize it. And you will never, never understand and be invested and involved and interested in truth till God rules your life. You have to be drug around and made to do right till the Lord God of glory has the throne room of your heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm not complaining tonight. I love what I do. I'm thankful God counted me worthy and put me in the ministry. One of the most tiring things, and the longer I'm in it, the more tired of it I get. Amen. Is trying to drag people into doing what's right. Why is it you can tell them what's right, you can tell them how to live, and then they go out and they do something else, Brother Larry? It's because they are not ruled by the God of glory. They don't have a confederation, this confederation in their heart. And my friend, you'll never even come close to living in the old time way till these things are present.
That's right.
Amen. Reconciled to God.
Amen.
Yes. So, preach, y'all already said that. Yeah, but I hit a stump, so I had to back up and hit it again.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody who has a revelation of God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Do you know more about this world than you do God?
Amen.
Amen. There are young folk, they can tell you every statistic of ball players and ball teams, and I love all that. I enjoy that. There ain't nothing more I love more than, college football on a Saturday and watching, full-grown men beat the snot out of each other. I love it. But do you know more about that than you do God?
Amen.
We invest ourselves in all sorts of things that are only temporary. They're only for a moment. They're only for a time. They're only for this life. Amen. But what about the ancient things? What about, the old game? What about, knowing something about God? Amen. Revelation, the revelation of God. We see the confederation at the old gate. Can y'all handle number two? Amen. Number two is longer than number one. Amen. Watch this. The connection to the old gate. Amen. I'll give it to you quick. Amen. I'll give it to you quick if you let me give it to you strong. That fair? Amen. Here we go. Amen. Consider here that we leave verse number 6 and from verse 7 down to verse number 12. What we find is there are other individuals and groups that are working on the wall, amen, that extends from the old gate. In other words, this wall, Brother Jack, this wall, it is what is connected to the truth represented in the old gate. I found it interesting, and you won't find any of this anywhere. I looked, I tried to read after other men, Brother Maurice, I tried, to see if anybody else had even walked down this vein, and I couldn't find it. Maybe there's somebody out there that has, so I may be 10 million miles off base, but this is how God put it in my heart. That wall and all the building and all the things going on down that wall was connected to the old gate that represented truth.
Right.
Amen. This wall was represents our connection to those timeless truths of God for our lives.
Amen.
Watch this. I noted in these verses, and I won't be long, I don't think. Y'all just hang with me. Amen. I'm trying. Notice with me, there is a connection to the old gate in this wall about our partnerships. Fellowship and unity. What I found interesting is that, Brother Mark, there the great diversity among the crowd building this particular section of wall is absolutely amazing. You have Gibeonites, you have political leaders and governors and rulers, you have goldsmiths, you have apothecaries, you have common men, you have family men, you have men that are diverse in so many ways that my friend outside of, this wall and the connection it had to the old gate, may have never even known each other, much less work together and worship together and labor alongside one another. Amen. But I wrote this down. I thought about this. Their fellowship, their partnership was around the old gate and nothing else.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I say tonight, our fellowships and who we're at unity with ought to be around the old gate.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Truth ought to be what unites us, not feeling, not emotion, not perspective. Amen. Not somebody who's been through what we've been through so they understand. Oh, no, no, no. Amen. It is truth that ought to unite us. It is truth. And truth alone that ought to bring us together. I mean, you think about all the diverse people and families and we don't have a large crowd here tonight. Amen. But the crowd we do have, we're not all the same. We come from different backgrounds. We come, from different places. We have different hobbies and different interests.
You're right.
And yet we're sitting in the same church tonight. What brings us together? It better be truth that brings us together. Amen. We ain't got to be buddy-buddy. We ain't got to be chums, and you ain't got to be best friends with everybody. But I tell you, amen, what ought to unite a church, amen, what ought to unite the pillar and the ground for the truth, amen, is people that have a love for the truth, amen, and partner together around the truth.
Yes, sir.
I've lost friendships because I would not sacrifice truth for friends.
Amen.
I've had family that ain't spoke to me in years because I just simply let God draw the lines of where truth was and said, I refuse to compromise.
Amen.
And if you can't handle that, it ain't me that's going a different way. It's you going a different way. Amen. This happens in churches. Sometimes it happens in communities. Sometimes it's obviously happening in our nation. Amen. Oh, that we would realize the importance of truth and partnering with others who have a connection to the spiritual old gate.
Amen.
Amen. Number two. Not only is this wall show a connection to the old gate in their partnerships, but I like this one. Y'all would be able to breathe here for a minute, but when it comes to our politicians, it's amazing, Brother Jerry, that in verse 7 through verse number 12, there is one governor that is mentioned and two rulers. Amen. There is, in fact, you've got a Republican and a Democrat in the text. Amen. There's one who rules one half of Jerusalem, the Bible said, and another, amen, that said he ruled half of Jerusalem. So you got a Democrat and Republican, and you got a governor over the whole thing. Amen. Ain't it amazing? These politicians, as they are listed, these are individuals, names of at least three men who have some sort of political position among the people. They weren't scared to be associated with the old gate.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Where's that? I wish I was still on the radio. I should have done this for introduction. Amen. Where's the politicians that ain't afraid to say, you know what? You know what? There are some old things we ain't giving up. It's this bunch of whining generation. Amen. This crowd coming on the scene. Amen. That my friend, they want this and they want that. And coming up with all these new ideas and new ways of looking at things. Amen. And God knows we got an empty suit up there in the White House. Amen. That's catering to that new generation and the way they think. He ought to be a man and stand up and say, we ain't doing that.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach. Amen. And I understand politicians. We don't vote in preachers. I understand all that. I'm sick and tired of voting that crowd in. It says they stand for the old gate and then they get in office and they do anything but. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's right. That feels good. These men were not bound to a new generation. They were influenced by the old gate. The responsibility rested on their shoulders to have a relationship with the old gate so in time they would be the elders that could pass it on to another generation. Amen. Somewhere along the way in America, we got stuck with a bunch of deadbeats that got more interested in their pocketbooks and their power and their position and their partnerships that, my friend, they forgot their job is to be a minister of God and pass on, my friend, to the next generation a decent moral standard for living. Somebody help me. Amen. Amen. Our posterity, by that I mean our family or our homes. Verse 10 talks about a man who is doing this and building along this wall that was over against his house. Verse number 10, verse number 12. And speaking of Shalem, the son of Halahash, said the ruler of half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. You have entire families that are saying this wall connects us to the old gate, and we're going to be involved and we're going to be invested. Amen. We've got to stay connected to the old gate. We can't be raising our family. We can't have our family go in the direction of a new way of thinking and a new way, amen, of doing things. We must stay connected to that old time way.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want you to get mad at me, but it is amazing, amen, the battle that is in these days to try to keep your family around the old way. Amen. My children obviously are not perfect. Amen. Sometimes I don't even think they're trying. They're just living in a world that's so new and trying to be so fresh and trying to be so bougie. Y'all like that? Amen. They're more interested in being bougie than they are, amen, being beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. I'm telling you, son. I'm telling you, there's an old time way. Amen. In our families, you're getting ready to get married. Amen. You don't need a new way. Amen. You've done it the right way. You've done it an old time way to this point. Amen. You need that for your family. Amen. Listen, that old gate. Amen. You know what that old gate will do? It'll keep some things out of your family that try to creep in. Amen. You go down the church. You go down there. Amen. Where the old gate. Amen. Where there's a man of God that ain't scared of you and tell you. Amen. You got some things in your home you need to clean out. Amen. Destroying you and eating up your marriage. Amen. Destroying your spirit and bringing you to defeat. Amen. Hey, don't get mad at that. Take that and say, I need the old gate for my family. Amen. Amen. So my family will get mad. I know they will. Don't matter. Amen. Still right to stand. It's still right to stand. I love my family with all my ever loving heart. Amen. And I've probably been the worst of fathers and husbands is in the building. I'm going to tell you something. I love my family. And God has done something in my heart. Amen. And I hate all we had to go through to get me, amen, squared away back in my mind. Amen. And make this stand and say, you can get mad or not. Amen. If you ain't doing right, I'm calling you out for it.
Amen.
Ain't got to be mean. You ain't got to be a bully.
Amen.
I don't want to embarrass them, but I was visiting a family. They asked me, say, y'all believe the husband's the head of the home? I said, yeah, we do. That's still an old time thing. Oh, you say, I don't believe in all that. Do you know them husbands there, all this and all that? Amen. Know what you are? You're a rebel.
Right. Amen.
Amen. It's still an old time truth. God established from the very beginning that the husband is the head of the wife.
Right.
I ain't for a man. Amen. Any man that slaps his wife or kids around, amen, they ought to be about 10 men meet him at his doorstep tonight and beat his ever-loving brains out. Somebody help me preach. But it's still right that a man be the head of his home. Still right for his wife to follow his leadership. Where you get that? From the old gate. And it's still right, children submit to their parents.
Yes, sir.
Obey your parents in the Lord. Now them new age versions, they'll water it down and they'll justify it and explain it away this way and that way. But the old time way says, children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Right.
Honor your father and mother.
Yes, sir.
Amen. This crowd, where you think this crowd got this thing when they get got on to, they pout and pooch their lip, stomp around the house like they're, amen, like they're 5 years old. You didn't get that from the new way. You didn't get that from the new way. You got the old way. You got that off Nickelodeon.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You got that off, amen, wicked hell-raising Disney's where you got that from.
Yes,
Hannah Montana, and I know that's showing my age. That's where you got it from. You didn't get that out the old gates. You didn't get that out the King James Bible. Amen. It's still right to honor your father and your mother. That is the way God established it. And if you want God to bless you, amen, in your life, get connected to the old gate. I love that last man said, him and his daughters. I don't know if he had sons. Maybe his sons were deadbeats and scared of work. Amen. And he said, if y'all don't like it, you get out of here. Amen. Amen. Them daughters, I don't even know how many he had. He said, Daddy, we'll get in there with you. Amen. We love you and we love the old game. We may not understand it all, but we'll labor long, say, and we'll do right. This is important to our home. Amen. Ain't we having fun? I need to quit. I need to quit, and I'm having so much fun. It's pitiful. Amen. Their posterity, their family, their whole, amen, was involved and connected to that old gate. Amen. Now I understand we're living in a world that, amen, it's tough sometimes. I'm doing my best to be the gatekeeper of my home. It ain't fun. It ain't fun. I don't like it. And some days it would be a lot easier just say, you know what? I can't do that. The old gate is too important. Amen. Before you know it, but you can be vigilant. You can be on guard. Just like that, something will find a way in. You got to sit down and say, now this ain't happening. The old gate teaches us better. Yeah. Everybody okay? Amen. I didn't mean to hang up right there. Amen. Let me say this. It's important. Amen. We're connected to the old gate in this wall. Amen. When it comes to our protection, notice what the Word of God said. Let me find my verse in verse number 8. The Bible said the last line there, and they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall. Amen. Fortified. There was protection for the people of God being connected to the old gate. Amen. Brother Tim been teaching on spiritual warfare and how real that is. You know where our protection comes from? And he's taught on the armor, and he's going to teach us a lot of things. It's going to be very important. Can I just say, in context of what I'm preaching tonight, if you'll stay connected to the old gate, if you'll let truth be a hedge about you and a wall to you, you will be fortified against the wiles of the devil. Brother Tim, didn't it not say over there, you talk, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. With truth. Truth is vital to your spiritual protection.
That's right.
Amen. I just don't see it that way. I don't care how you see it. I'm so sick of hearing that. Amen. I'm so sick of hearing that. It makes me want to go home and puke. I just don't see it that way. Amen. Don't make me back up and hit point one again. A lot of people can't see it because that ain't right. Amen.
Right.
Notice our progress. Oh Lord, I gotta quit, but I gotta finish. Our progress. Hey, y'all look at your paper. Y'all see where the old gate is? Now you go around that thing clockwise. Here's what I found. Now, you don't see it quite as clear on this, and you'll see it, but you won't see it quite as clear as if you've seen a drawing with the topography behind it. But the span between the old gate to the next gate, which is the valley gate, that is the longest span between walls or between gates in all the wall around Jerusalem. It's the longest distance. Say, preacher, now here's how God give it to me. But tell me, I think this is good. This is how God give it to me. Sometimes the journey gets long. You know what you're going to have to make it in the longest part of your journey? Truth. You're going to have to be in that book, knowing what God said, living every bit of it, saying, God, help me, this is all I have.
Amen.
Truth will sustain you in the longest part of the journey.
Yes,
do y'all see there between the old gate and the valley gate, there's a little tower down there right before you get to the valley gate. It's referenced in our text. It's called the Tower of the Furnaces. That word furnaces, if you look it up, it means a fire pot. It speaks of a fire of annihilation. In other words, in this journey we're in, sometimes we go through the furnace. Sometimes the heat gets turned up on us. Can I say, if you've been by the old gate, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've been by the old gate, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amen, you'll be able to stand up to the furnace and say, everybody else may bow, everybody else may give in, others may compromise, others may go a new way. We've been by the old gate and we know, amen, our God is in glory. Amen, we will not bow because we believe that God will not let us perish. Amen, but be it known, O King. Amen, if not, we're still not going to bow. Now, why did they do that? Because somewhere along the way, they had been through the old gate. They got some truth passed down to them. And they said, oh, it looks like, hey, man, if we're going to take a vote on it, we all going to have to compromise. And it looked like it had been easier, hey, man, to bow on the outside and stand up on the inside. They said, can't do that. Said, he may throw us in the furnace. And they may, and the king turned the heat up, amen, however many times, amen. But you remember who walked with them all the way through the furnace.
Amen. Yes,
you know why? Because they're standing in the truth they got from the old gate. Say, so what are you saying? I'm saying along the way, amen, if you live connected to the old gate, if you live an old time holy life, amen, if you'll be the child of God, God has saved us to be, amen, abstain and eschew evil and abstain from the world and love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and you'll be what God has called and saved us to be. And my friend, even in the furnace, God will walk with you and you will make it through.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I must have preached a shout out of you. I figured that'd be the point where babies would be being pitched and, amen, pews have been busted out the floor. That's as good as I got. Can I give you the last point? I know I'm long tonight. I'm an hour and 8 minutes. I know exactly how long I've been. Amen. Notice, we've seen the confederation and we see the connection. This last point is pretty short. It'll just take me a minute, but it's so good. And if I get it out, then I don't have to preach it again next Sunday night. Right? Notice with me, we called it, Brother Mike, the conversion around the old gate. The conversion around the old gate. Now, this old gate is known to the Jews. They called it the Mishnah gate, which would be Hebrew for old. In your King James Bible, it is referenced not only as the old gate, and I'll give you the references sometime if you're interested in it, but there's a gate that is called the corner gate that is believed to be the same as the old gate. Now, this makes sense to me. Look at your paper. Amen. Do you see where the old gate is? Now, I would maybe dispute this just a little bit, amen, as I've studied other maps and kind of got my bearings around it. This particular drawing has the old gate around the bend, but if you can picture it in your mind being on the other side, sitting right there on the corner, the furthest northwest part of the wall. They called it the old gate, or the Jews would call it the corner gate, because it was the gate that was in the corner. Imagine that. Amen. When we think about this, this old gate, or corner gate, the old gate, let me back up just a minute. The old gate was the entryway, now listen to me, to the old paths that led through the old city into the new. Going to say that again, that went whoosh. The old gate was the entryway to the old paths that led through the old city into the new. When Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6:16, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way and walk ye therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. He is referencing an entryway into the old gate.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You see, those who are in the old gate walk in the old paths.
That's right.
If you walk in the old, if you live your life connected to the old gate and walk in the old paths, you know what God will do? He'll give you a brand new lease on your spiritual life.
Amen.
See, we're there are people in our day trying to be refreshed and trying to find rest, and trying to find a spiritual newness, and do all that bypassing the old gate and the old paths. These bunch of morons. I'm going to go to the wilderness and find myself. All you going to do, come back smelling like a hog. Go sit in a mud hut and sweat it out for 5 weeks. You know how dumb you got to be to do that.
Amen.
All you got to do, if you're a child of God, walk up to the old gate and say, Lord, if you'll help me, I want to love this with all my heart.
Amen.
Lord, I want to walk in the old paths. Lord, I want to be what you called me to be. I'm standing and I'm seeing and I'm asking, I'm begging you, I'm praying. Lord, let me know this. God said you'll find rest for your soul. He'll give you a brand new spiritual lease on your life. It's called the corner gate. I thought about that in light of the old paths leading to the new. Here's what I come up with. You know what God will do? Because when you're not walking in the old gate, the old paths, you're in sin. And we've tried to hit on some things, and y'all know we could hit on so many things in our day. People trying to find a new way, winding up in sin. But if you'll go to the old gate, you know what God will do? God will let you turn the corner on your sin.
Amen.
Ain't that good? God will let you turn the corner on your sin. God will let you turn the corner on a fleshly life. God will let you turn the corner on things that have had you bound and bogged down and different ideas. I know I gotta quit, and I know I keep saying that, and I really do mean it. And I ain't gonna keep you till the sun goes down. I'm sitting with folk in recent days, I guess for years now. Brother Mike, it is amazing the bondage that people are under. The bondage they're under, and the way they talk about the way that they're living like it's a normal spiritual life. I looked at somebody the other day. I said, whoa, stop a minute. What'd you just say? And he repeated. I said, you didn't get that out of the Bible. That's wicked right there. You say you talk to people like that when I have to? Yes. So that's a wicked way to look at what you're doing. What do you mean? And you give them what God says, and you give them old time truth from the old gate, and they look at you like, huh? I can't do that. And I'm like, hey, you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and winding up in the same mess. When you going to turn the corner on sin? I tell you, when people turn the corner on sin is when they fall in love with the old gate.
Yes, sir.
And that's good preaching right there. And if I hadn't already preached an hour and 12 minutes, I'd preach another hour right there. Amen. There's a conversion, a change in our life. When's the last time as a child of God you had some changes?
Amen.
I'm interested in that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother A.L., I'm interested in that.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested. I'm interested in God making some changes in the families of our church.
Yes, sir.
My family. My life. I'm interested in God making some changes in our church.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, we're okay. Are we? Are we? We're the cream of the crop. Are we? Brother Jack, if we're the cream of the crop, oh no. Oh no. Say, preacher, you think we're bad, terrible people? That's not what I'm driving at. And if you got a brain in your head, you know that. What I'm trying to say is, when have you allowed God to make some conversions? When's the last time you sat down at the old gate and you said, okay, Lord, I'm open to whatever you have to say?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. I'm done. Amen. I'll let you go. All right? Amen.